Hi, welcome to Barnstorming PA.
This is Taylor.
And this is Jordy.
And this is one of the Sangria episodes.
The Sangria episodes. That's right, sort of an Easter egg for our most favorite listeners to figure it out.
Yeah, exactly. Which ones are in the Sangria series?
That's right.
This is an episode we did some time ago with Jack Miller, as you obviously heard, with the Sierra Club, as he will tell you. We did it primarily at the time... to talk about the purchase of the Turtle Creek Park by the Lewisburg Alliance Church. At the time that we did this, it was proposed, and it has since been, unfortunately, purchased. That happened in late April of 2018, so 78 acres. But we're publishing this episode now because it talks a lot about the Atchinatsin Sierra...
Atchinatsin.
Okay, we talk a little bit about that podcast, but we talk about the Sierra Club, as you will hear.
Hold on.
Local.
Ach.
Na.
Sun. Atchinatsin.
Atchinatsin.
Yeah.
Sierra Club.
I think it's a cool name. I get it.
How did you hear that though?
I've heard it enough that it stuck. It's not. I love how cool it is, and it's a really hard name.
Yeah, it is. Okay. Well, anyway, we talked about this. This is the first name we talked about the podcast. Yeah. So it's a little juicy prequel.
I don't know if you can hear Jack rolling his eyes, but you know, there's this like, oh, why did we pick that name? And we're stuck with it, and it's hard to say. So.
Yeah. We talk about the Sierra Club, the local Sierra Club. Land use planning, we talk about the constitutional amendment for clean air and water in Lewisburg.
Right.
And then we talk, of course,
Real quick, there's an effort called the Better Way Coalition, Better Path Coalition, which is a statewide coalition of groups that are using that to address, especially
fracking.
Natural gas and fracking.
Yeah, that's good. Of course that friend is on our right water.
Mm-hmm. So, should we go on with the episode?
Without further ado,
here's Jack Miller.
My name is Jack Miller. I'm with the Atchinatsin, a regional group of the Sierra Club. The Sierra Club is a national environmental group founded, if I get my dates right, 1892. One of the founders was John Muir, one of the most famous conservationists over the years, who was very instrumental in saving... much of the Sierra Nevada, Yosemite, and I just lost the name here. That's further east.
Okay.
But he's very, very much involved in the national parks out there. And it started out as an outings club, and the outings portion still remains with the club, but we've become, I don't know what you call, a full service environmental group. Some groups. You know, Audubon, you think of birds, and, you know, there's the rainforest groups and various groups.
Right.
So we're pretty much involved. In the 1950s, the Sierra Club became more of a national club. David Brower was a leader then of the club, and it started when the major issues was dams in the Colorado River Basin. Dinosaur National Park was first one, and then there were proposed dams for the Grand Canyon, and from that the Sierra Club has grown to today with over 800,000 members nationally. The Sierra Club is broken up into chapters, and we are part of the Pennsylvania chapter. The Pennsylvania chapter has over 33,000 members and has a full-time lobbyist in Harrisburg, and we have grown tremendously on the state level. I think this chapter alone has something like 8 employees doing environmental work, and the National Club has at least 4 full-time people working in the state of Pennsylvania because Pennsylvania is central in the energy issues and so forth. So the chapter is broken up into regional groups, and our regional group covers a fair number, if I got the numbers straight, something like 14 or 15 different counties.
That's almost as big as the congressional district.
And that's the Atchinatsin?
Atchinatsin, which I'm told by Mr. Dave Hafer, was the Indian name for the West Branch. Now, that's come into dispute within our group.
Okay.
And I was hoping we'd change our name to get it more regional, plus get something that people could spell. Because you tell people, go to your website, and how do you spell Atchinatsin? So, but tradition sometimes rules, so...
I mean, I hear that, but I mean, I think it's so cool that it's not like Susquehanna Valley. Like, so many things around here are Susquehanna Valley, Buffalo Valley, blah, blah, blah.
Yeah, yeah.
I think it's cool.
I appreciate the uniqueness of it.
Yeah, but it is hard to spell.
It is, yeah. And if I was looking at it, I would not say Otnaten.
Okay. Otsonotsen.
Otsonotsen.
Well, I don't know if I'm pronouncing it correctly. It's just sort of the way I heard it, and it's the way I learned to say it. So
yeah.
I guess...
you guys... This chapter started in the 80s, right?
As far as I know, and the group has been more or less centered in the Lewisburg area, because on the group level, we're all volunteers. So the people who started the group were more or less in the Lewisburg area. We do have some members who are active from the Williamsport area, but we don't have too much... outside of the, let's say, 15 to 20 miles at the most from Lewisburg. And I'm guessing Williamsport is about within 20 miles of Lewisburg, give or take. So
yeah.
So, like, how many people do you think are, you know, I mean, you have the hiking events, or, I mean, you have hikes.
Yes.
And then you have service projects. Like, how many people might either come to meetings or go on a hike or do, you know, like, okay. And like, roughly?
Well, from my perspective, not nearly enough.
Right.
But, yeah.
Well, I'm sure we all feel that.
About
our groups, I mean.
Yeah. We, it's hard. You need people who are willing to pick up the ball and run with it.
Mm-hmm. Mm-hmm.
And sometimes we've had that. At a recent program we had, now it was professional photographers showing pictures from all over the state of Pennsylvania, we had almost 50 people there, which
that's
was
great.
That's really cool.
That was
yeah.
amazing. We just had a roadside
cleanup
down south of town here. And
it was cold, if I recall.
Well, but actually, once you got moving, it wasn't cold. Yeah. And the sun came out, and it wasn't all that windy.
Mm-hmm.
But we had 13 people, give or take. But
that sounds good to me.
That, yeah, okay. That sounds great right. to
well,
me. Yeah.
Okay. I guess I always hope for more.
Yeah.
So, I haven't kept up with the. We've had a outings leader, the outings sheriff for a number of years, and I more or less left it in his ballpark what was happening. And
mm-hmm.
his hikes are too strenuous for me, by and large.
Right.
I've gone on a couple and. I had some physical issues in the last year and a half, so I haven't been on any lately. But
uh-huh.
so I know we've had now. We're going through adjustments. We're have a new outings leader, Roy Fontaine. I don't know if you know Roy or not.
Mm-hmm.
Roy has been very active with Lincoln Service. See, and I believe if he wasn't one of the founders of the group, he goes way back. And we're trying to catch up with all the Sierra Club regulations or requirements in terms of outings. Liability with everything today is an issue.
Yeah.
And we want to make sure all our outings leaders are certified
right.
by the, you know, have met the standards of the club and
right.
first aid training and so forth. So
right.
We've had a very full schedule, and I assume we'll get there again. But and I assume Roy will have a schedule out pretty soon here, so.
So let's talk about land use a little bit.
Yeah.
Because that's one of the things that, I mean, Sierra Club, some of its advocacy is about land use, right?
Well, land use, you can start.
And preservation and conservation. And,
yeah, you can start. If you start with land, air, and water, pretty much you've included the environment.
Mm-hmm.
And land use obviously affects water quality. One of the biggest problems with streams is simple siltation, erosion from land.
Mm-hmm.
How the land is used. I mean, the real estate agents have always said, well, they're not making any new land, and that's absolutely true.
Yeah, we also don't have any shortages of land in this country.
Well, the point is how is that land used? Is
right.
the land going to be used at its highest
right.
level?
Right.
If you take, now I lived in Lancaster County for 30 years,
mm-hmm.
and you take some of the best with a tremendous development in Lancaster County,
mm-hmm.
you take some of the best farmland in the world.
And you're taking it off
and you cover it up with macadam and concrete.
Right.
And so how the land is used, because how the land is used is going to affect the quality of water.
Yeah.
If you contaminate the ground, you're going to contaminate the water. Mm-hmm. So everything, you know, as John Muir once said, everything you look at the universe and everything is attached, hitched together, I think was his words.
Right.
So land use is a very important issue.
I mean, this is, I'd be curious about your perspective, because, you know, you're a little older than me or Taylor. Yeah. And I lived in Bethlehem in the mid-90s for a couple of years. It was the first time I lived there. And people there talked about, and if people don't know, where Bethlehem Steel famously had four or five blast furnaces. And they said the river there, the Monocacy, I think is the river, or no, the Lehigh.
Lehigh, yeah.
Monocacy is a creek. But anyway, people there said, I think like in the 70s and 80s, they remember like coming out and their cars would be covered with particulate of some kind from the smokestacks, mm-hmm. and that the river was horribly polluted. Mm-hmm. And when I was there, I mean, it's not a river you'd go swimming in. Well, maybe you could, I don't know, but it didn't seem that bad. So my point is, like, maybe compared to the period of kind of like
Muir, rapid industrialization.
Yeah, either yeah. where Muir was and Teddy Roosevelt in that early wave of conservation, and then I feel like there's sort of a second wave in the 50s and 60s around Rachel Carson with industrial pollution had gotten very, very bad. Like, we've been kind of, like, people my age and Taylor's age, like there's less of a feeling of crisis, right? Because we don't see as much really, really bad pollution. That's just sort of a random thought, but what do you think?
Well, there's no question in some areas we've made progress.
Right.
And right now, all those areas of progress are under attack. Mm-hmm. I mean, it's, you know, while you're talking politics, well, politics is involved.
Yeah.
And currently, there's attempts roll back,
right?
Virtually every under the guise of regulatory reform. Well, right. it's not reform. It's taking right. an axe to it,
right?
And nobody would be opposed to improving or tweaking and right. making better, but right. we're just taking a hatchet to it,
right?
And one of the fundamental questions, and I think it's a moral question, with terms of pollution, is who's right. Takes precedence.
Mm-hmm.
Is it the right to make profit?
Right.
Or the right to clean air and water? And I don't know how many, if you are all familiar with Article 1, Section 27 of the Pennsylvania Constitution.
No.
I'll give you a homework assignment.
There you go.
Yeah.
Under the Pennsylvania Constitution, under Article 1, Section 27, we have a right to clean air and water.
Right.
And the protection of the scenic yeah. beauty of the state.
I wonder if that has something to do with our being a commonwealth.
Well, I don't believe that's so, but again, I'm not a political scientist. There was a state legislator from the Shamokin area was very, very instrumental in, and I'm sorry I can't think of a name, in getting that as part of the Constitution.
Would that be Frank Curry?
Could be.
Yeah.
You're talking to I was accused of being old here a minute ago. So, names leave my brain sometimes. But when you talk about pollution and environmental law and so forth, every time, all pollution, and while the pollution may have been more visible 40, 50 years ago, you know, the classics of Denora, Pennsylvania, and air inversions and all those things, I mean, they were right in front of people, and but maybe there's more silent. I mean, Rachel Carson wrote about the silent spring, and there's a lot of chemicals we are being subjected to that nobody knows. There's something like 85,000 chemicals produced now that are being used, and virtually none of them are tested for safety. And then no testing in terms of interaction between those chemicals.
Yeah.
So the European model is show that it's safe, then we'll put it on the market. Our model is, well, put it on the market, and if it's 20 or 30, if something happens bad down the year road, and that's not even happening today.
So I'm curious here. Just Frank Curry? Yeah.
Mm-hmm. 1971. So that's an amendment. I didn't realize that was an amendment, but sorry, I was looking it up.
Let me just stretch my political knowledge from the 1970s in central Pennsylvania.
But it won in a statewide referendum, 80 to 20, 80%, okay. 4 to 1.
Yeah.
People, people, if you just go around, do you want clean air? Of course they're going to say yes.
Yeah.
But it's a question, are you willing to take that step? It's very, very difficult. I say this as a hypocrite, okay? It's very, very, very difficult to be a practicing environmentalist in the culture we live in.
Mm-hmm. Yeah.
I mean, we have totally. it's convenience, ease, You know, it's just a whole range of things, and it's tough.
Yeah. And just to sort of circle this in, like bring this into the topic of conversation, there's currently a proposal that where the church, the Lewisburg Alliance Church, has voted to purchase the property currently known as the Turtle Creek Dog Park. And this is
Turtle Creek Dog Park or Turtle Creek Park? I don't know. Anyway,
I think it's.
Sorry.
I don't know. Either way.
Let's just say it was used as a dog park.
Yeah, it's used as a dog park, yeah. And for those that don't know, this is a 70 or so acre property in East Buffalo Township that's basically a wetland. Or it is a wetland. I don't know.
Have you been on it some?
No, and that's why I was hoping Dave would be here, because I said he's much more knowledge. I know there's a lot of wetland, and now you're talking about 70 acres.
Yeah.
But if you're talking about the size of the church, the size of the church itself, and then I think they'll have a separate activity building of some sort, and you think of the size of the parking lot, you're talking about a lot of land use. And the question, and I'm not here to question... the question is this the best use this land can be put to?
Yeah.
And all land use questions boil down to that. And are there already developed sites?
Yeah.
I mean, if you look in the area, well, for example, Kmart down the road. You know, I don't know if anything's planning to come in or not, but there's a big site which has already been developed. And the questions, there are more than land use issues with the church using this property, and not, you know, you talk about it's a rural back road.
Yeah.
Is that going to affect the quality of life of people around them? Is it going to affect the quality of the church? And I don't know if the church has looked into all the issues in terms.
My understanding, they haven't begun the permitting process and even really looked into it yet. Yeah. And that to me is really problematic, because they're going to need to. The land is not hooked up to public utilities. So I think the largest obstacle for them is the perk test, which is a percolation test.
Yes.
They would need to build, and I think they want to build like a massive church and then a parking lot for 200 to 300 cars, and then also soccer fields and a recreation center. You would need a massive septic system to deal with that kind of intake.
Well, again...
And the permitting for that is very strenuous.
Yes. Well, and again, there may be a portion of land which is... You could put a septic system. But, you know, again, when you talk about the total footprint on the land, you question...
For all the listeners, Jordy's just pulled up a topographical map of the area.
which I then may go away, but go ahead. Because I've been there some, and my memory is the topo map, it's sort of a classic. If people know topo maps, there's, you know, it shows you elevation, and it could be a 40-foot change from one to the other. But within that, the land could go down 20 and up 20. And that the part I know better, where the trails are, is very, you know, like imagine you take a sheet and you rumple it up. It's flat.
It's not flat at all, no.
Well, I mean... obviously, soil and water deep are part would be involved. I guess the township has a role in this. I believe, and this question I may be wrong, but I think it's zone residential. Does it need a zoning change to put this type of facility in? So there, and let's just say, my own feeling is this is not the best use this land could be put to, and again, and there are environmental laws in terms of land use and water and so forth, but
and wouldn't they need to actually, since this is a wetland, wouldn't they need to pay to replace the wetland if they destroy it?
That's my understanding, yes. They'd have to create wetland in another area and so forth, which means we're taking a natural area and trying to create an artificial one, and how much will it, you know. And again, I'm not an engineer in these issues, so...
Yeah. I want to really quickly turn to, you know, just while we're on the conservation aspect of
this... Hold on, let's go back to that. I did talk a little bit with an East Buffalo Township supervisor, because... you know, we're just trying to figure some of this out. There are zoning and stormwater regulations that falls under the township. The, you know, what's a wetland and what's not? Maybe you know, Jack. I'm not quite sure who designates that. Is that DCNR at the state, or so? You know, these are things to find out for sure. But anyway, just while we were on the regulation, she didn't say whether or not it's zoned residential. Whether or not it needs any zoning changes.
I actually think that it would. I think churches are actually in this special category where they don't need a whole lot of, like, they're sort of written into, like, they're sort of written into a lot of the zoning.
Yeah.
Like, you can have a church here. Like, So, do you guys mind if I read this bit on the conservation? Mm-hmm. And this comes from a letter to the editor by Judy Marvin, who's, a really good environmentalist here in Lewisburg.
She's a member of our group also.
So. Oh, okay. Well, would you look at that? So she's saying, in 2013, the Union County Conservation District started major restoration of Turtle Creek and found a 10-inch trout during their studies. This restoration work is continuing, and multiple brown trout have been found since the first, from small fry up to 20-inch trout. How could a major campus development near the Susquehanna River affect the future of trout and turtle in Turtle Creek, and the possibility it may be classified as a cold water stream? The current church has a parking lot that holds 200 cars and is deemed not sufficient. An asphalt lot that would hold 300, 400 cars along an enormous sand mound septic system, if it perks, and a stormwater management basement. It is hard to believe that this is what God wants for this special place.
Oh, is that the whole letter or just part of it?
This is just an excerpt.
Can you just, because I thought it was really great how she started it. Doesn't she have God in the beginning too?
Yeah. Is this God's plan for Turtle Creek and the dog park?
That's not really a theological discussion. Like, I appreciate what she's doing. I'm not sure I want to get into a theological discussion with the church, because they probably have their own idea of God's
And I'm sure if you look at the Christian church as a whole, there's a wide range of visions within that church. Yeah. So
all the way from Dominion to protecting the sacred,
you can go from the Quakers to the this was a long time ago, but it was Jerry Falwell talking about how much he liked the nuclear weapons we all had. So and that was years ago on the Phil Donahue show, if I'm dating myself. Mm-hmm. So you have a wide range within.
And I know who Phil Donahue is. You may not.
I don't. if we talk about 1970s Central Pennsylvania politics, I might have.
Yeah, that's right. Phil Donahue was sort of, off the top of my head, was sort of like the white Oprah of the late 70s, early 80s. Like, he was a talk show, and he was sort of accused of being a liberal a lot.
Well.
Oh. That happens to me occasionally, too.
Oprah drew him... replaced him, let's put it that way.
Yeah. But he was very good at getting people to talk. And but real quick, I just wanted to talk about the church's role. And, I don't know how people would interpret the tone of what we're talking about here. I mean, Jack is talking best use of land. I mean, if a church is growing and wants to have facilities for athletics and for their events, and that's great. I mean, that's great. If you know this area, I think a lot of us are like, there's an awful lot of land around here that is already hooked up to utilities. There's a couple of big boxes that are empty. You're talking about did we talk about the Kmart already?
Yeah.
Okay.
The Kmart. I mean, basically, the entire Susquehanna Valley Mall, actually. Like, isn't Wise going out of there?
Yeah. I mean, I don't know if that's ideal for them. I don't know where they draw their population from.
Well, there's also a lot of old industrial parks in Lewisburg that are sort of...
There's still room around the Giant.
Yeah, exactly. And also, not to mention, the church, which is just up the street from the dog park right now, still has a tremendous amount of land on that property. Mm. And I don't know who they're planning on selling that land to.
Yeah, that's interesting. I mean, Taylor and I maybe have our own perspective, because our own little church, we're both members of the Unitarian Congregation in Northumberland. we just went through the whole like buying a property and et cetera, and
we bought a existing building.
Yeah,
it's actually an office building.
Right, but
or was an office building.
But I would just assume that you know you're usually. I think most churches are usually trying to get the most they can out of the dollars they have.
Yeah, I mean there's often small nonprofit organizations.
I mean, this one's obviously been growing.
Yeah.
Well, and in one of the item Daily Item articles, I believe they had looked at the Walmart property and said that would cost $2 million, and this land was $700,000.
Well, that's the land, not the church.
Well, I was going to say, well, if you talk at all the how much is it going to cost for them to develop the property in terms of sewage and retention ponds and all those things that go in. I don't know. No, I'm not objecting to their church growing.
Yeah, absolutely.
We're just talking, again, I'm looking strictly from a land use perspective. So, and I would hope they would build their church elsewhere.
Yeah.
For
better spots.
You know, again, land use goes down to thinking about what is the best use this land can be put to. And I would argue that this is not the best use for this land.
Yeah. I mean, there's, you know, another set of questions for me is, and I just don't know, but for a piece of land like this, before something's built, you know, what authority, whether it's state or borough or county, like who comes in and when has to permit things? And
I think that's the county. In this particular case, I think that's the county
conservation. Well, I know that stormwater and zoning is East Buffalo.
Yeah.
I mean, again, I'm only speaking from limited knowledge. I'd say is I would assume that the state DEP would be involved.
Yeah. Specifically from the DEP and the DCNR.
Well, DEP is the regulatory body. DCNR is state parks and all those.
Okay.
Thing.
So DEP is in charge of the environment being clean.
Yeah.
DCNR is in charge of
just
wild places.
If you look at
roughly,
DEP is Department of Environmental Protection,
right?
And DCNR is Department of Conservation and Natural Resources. Right. So,
but I think you can even see for just you know an average citizen like the alphabet soup, like the layers of complexity. I mean, this is just sort of my own pet theory, but I often feel like you know
less acronyms.
No, not just that, but the sort of the regulatory state that's been built up. Ostensibly, often for good reasons, whether it's campaign finance, that's a big one for me, or consumer protection or environmental, like that complexity over time plays into the interests of larger economic players, corporations or whoever, because they can afford lawyers and people to play with the system, you know, and then the average citizen can feel very overwhelmed. And this isn't a critique of the Sierra Club, but, you know, we pull our money and there's one lobbyist for Sierra Club. Well, how many does the shale industry have?
And one of the reasons I push membership to the Sierra Club is that our money, for example, I can go to Tom Schuster. He lives in the Allentown area, but he's an expert on regs in terms of coal mining and all that sort of thing. And so, as I said, right now, within the state of Pennsylvania, we have upwards, and I couldn't give the exact number, upwards of 15 full-time employees working on environmental issues, people who can look at the underlying issue. For example, pipelines issues, and we have Patrick Gretner down looking at the Sunrise Pipeline and other issues. So we don't have, obviously, near the resources that the industry has, but at least we do what we can. And that's one of the problems with environmental protection today is we don't have the same dollar bills. It's simple as that.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah.
Do we have more? Do you have any other like questions in your mind? Like what you'd like to see? Like what should happen as this land purchase? It's not even finalized, but.
Yeah. Well, I mean, the bottom line is I wish they would go. And it's just not this church. It's all development,
right.
Future development. That we should use those sites which have already been, I don't know if degraded is the right word, but have already been developed.
Right.
And let's leave alone that which can be left alone.
Right.
Yeah. There's a, Union County did a housing study a few years ago, and
we should put a link to it, as it's so hard to find.
It's very difficult to find. But anyway, East Buffalo Township was seen as there was a dearth of sort of open space in East Buffalo Township. It's, a lot of it is developed.
Well, Township Supervisor Char Gray, you know, and this is, I don't know if she's referring to that, but East Buffalo has one of the lowest levels of parkland to resident of any in Pennsylvania.
Yeah, we badly need open space, and I don't know. If I had to give my, what I'd really like to see, you know, see with this space is, I would love to see it entered into some sort of conservation easement, or maybe even into sort of a, like a, you know, the Lynn Conservancy or the Recreation Authority or something like that, and, you know, so that something, you know, something like this doesn't happen again.
Yeah. Land use issues aren't a big thing in this area. The question doesn't come up a lot. But if you go down, like, into southeastern Pennsylvania, and I hear about these things for the state chapter, and we have, the Sierra Club is not a tax-exempt organization because we endorse candidates for political office. And we have, on a state chapter level, and a local and a regional group and chapter level, have endorsed a number of Republicans in that area. People think we're... it's hard to support many of the Republicans.
Right.
Wherever we can, we don't look at the political party, we look at the environmental issues.
Right.
And land use is a big issue in those areas because they can see what development is doing much more than a lot of people in this area can see.
Yeah.
And that it is almost a nonpartisan issue in the South, in many of the areas in the southeastern part of the state, because land use issues are big issues.
Yeah.
Has, in the state of Pennsylvania, has the Sierra Club endorsed any like statewide candidates or congressional candidates so far?
Well, this year?
Yeah.
Not that I know of. I don't think so. There are some local officials we have endorsed, but... They're either in the Philadelphia or the Allegheny group, which is Pittsburgh. So,
okay,
I couldn't throw any names at you. Cool. So,
Jack, do you have anything else that you'd like to add to the conversation here?
Well, specifically this, you know, there's so many environmental issues I could probably go for a long time, but on this one, I think I better shut up.
All right. Well, it was a pleasure talking with you, Jack.